You want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Well, good morning, and welcome to another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I am your host, Matt Halleck. I want to thank you for joining the Man Warrior King movement and for joining me in my own pursuit of Jesus. I want to thank you for running alongside of me. I want to thank you for grabbing the DNA of a man. I want to thank you for just being every bit the man you were meant to be in the kingdom. We have got a lot of exciting things going on in the Man Warrior King movement right now. The book has been selling well over the last 2 months now, and we've got a growing Facebook community where we do weekly live sessions. We are also starting up coaching for individual as well as group options, and I'm building curriculum for going through DNA of a Man with a workbook and video lessons and things like that. So there's a lot of cool stuff going on. If you want to be a part of it, make sure you jump in the Facebook group to stay in the inner know. And if you, or you can always head to the website and check out what's going on there. But man, I've been getting so many good reports from guys about the book, The DNA of a Man. And it's my utter desire that the Lord uses it to set some people free. And that he uses it not just to heal marriages, which is what the largest portion of our demographic is right now, but that he uses it to set men on fire, to get us living completely and utterly immersed in his presence. Because I believe wholeheartedly that we are designed to live like Adam, where we walk daily in his actual presence, and we derive our life from him, not from any other source. And from that place, we get to live confident. We get to live fiercely on fire. We get to live dangerous. This morning, I want to talk from Nehemiah. And it's a book that I've been in and out for actually a long time now. And my wife and I have actually been looking at it a bit together over throughout our week. And it is just, if you want to know how to start taking action, if you want inspiration to start being proactive and taking initiative as a man, I highly recommend diving into Nehemiah. This guy, the story here is so... If you have read the description of the show, the story here is so unsexy. Nehemiah doesn't get any visitation from the Lord. He doesn't have a supernatural encounter. He doesn't get a vision, a dream, or anything like that. He doesn't see any angels. He simply sees a problem. He hears of a problem in his homeland of Jerusalem while he's in exile. And he decides to take action. And we see pieces of evidence throughout this book that even though he may not be getting a supernatural visitation from the Lord, he is a man of prayer. And it reminds me of how the Gospels talk about Jesus at various points throughout them. We get snippets of his prayer life. And same thing here. At various points in the book of Nehemiah, we get snippets of his prayer life, and he even prays in the narration of the book. And so he is a man who is moved by his intimacy with the Lord and what he knows of him. He's built his own history with God. In whatever situation he was in, even in the middle of his exile, he built his history with God so that when the time came, when circumstances arose and presented themselves, he had this knowing, he had this deep inner conviction about who God was, about who God had made him to be, and about God's will in the earth. See, for many of us, if we're in Nehemiah's position, we hear that our hometown, we hear that Jerusalem is a broken down city and the wall is collapsed, it's crumbled, it's in ruin. And we think, oh, well, if it's God's will, I hope he builds this thing again. And he'll do it in his timing. Right? We put that phrase, we slap that phrase, well, in his timing, brother, on everything. Nehemiah hears that God's city is in ruins and the wall is broken down and the people are probably suffering. And he says, this is God's time. I'm doing something about it. In this book, he faces opposition over and over and over again from many different angles. And if we were like him, if we got to the point where we were like, you know what, I'm not hiding behind this phrase of God's timing anymore. I'm going to go take some action. And if we get to this point, when we start to face all this opposition, we bow out. We take it as a declaration by creation that we must be outside of God's will because now all of a sudden it ain't easy anymore. And in chapter 4, it talks about this enemy of his named Sanballat. It says, when this guy Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that? And then Tobiah, who's this dude's sidekick, was beside him, and he said, yeah, they're building, or what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he's going to break down their stone wall. So we have these two leaders of surrounding peoples coming and observing what Nehemiah is doing, what the people are doing in building this wall, and they're ridiculing it. They're saying, these Jews are feeble. What do they think they're even doing? Do they think they're going to finish it in a day? Are they building the wall out of this rubble and they're using these burned, broken down stones at that? How ridiculous. And if a fox climbs up on top of it, it's going to crumble. How many times, my friends, have we heard this voice from the devil, this voice from our own heads, this voice from people around us saying, what do you think you're doing? How about people close to you who say, what do you think you're doing? How about people in your own family who come at you and say, what do you think you're doing? You guys, when we start to go through our transformation to truly step into our God-given masculinity, to truly start to live alive and on fire, when we step into that transformation, don't think that it's not going to come without opposition, without ridicule. There may be men who go through this transformation and within their own marriages, they start to hear the ridicule. They start to hear, what do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? How dare you think that it's okay for you to change now? And if Nehemiah was going at this thing, letting what people around him said, letting what the people of Israel said, letting all these things be his gauge for how well he was doing, he would have quit. If you find what your current mission is right now, and for many guys who listen to this podcast, your current mission is your own inner transformation. Your current mission is your own development into more of the on fire, unleashed man of God that you actually are. All right, so if you go at that mission, letting what people around you tell you be your gauge as to how successful or not you are being, you are going to be in for a whole heck of a lot of pain. And you are setting yourself up to not finish your race because you will get people who taunt you. And I'm sorry, for some of you out there, you may even get your wife criticizing you and taunting you. And you might get those thoughts that say, man, this thing isn't going to last. If a little fox jumps up on top of this wall, it's going to crumble. So you got to figure out, where am I going to get my strength to keep going? So Nehemiah responds to this, and he just says, hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Don't cover their guilt and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. So look at this. Nehemiah is saying, God, hear what's happening. I am taunted. We are taunted. We are despised. We're going after you with everything we have, and we're getting despised, rejected. Hear what is being said about us and be our avenger. See, he's not panicking. He's not freaking out and saying, oh, I want to prove to these ridiculers that what we're doing is right. I want to prove to the naysayers that I'm good. I want to prove to them that I'm on track. I want to prove to them that God is with us. He's not trying to prove jack. And too often when we are going about our mission and people come against us and say, what do you think you're doing? We want to convince them that we're okay. We want to convince them that we're right. How many of you can relate to this? I want to prove to my wife that I actually am changing. Sir, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. You answer to Jesus, and you answer to him alone, and you stay focused on the mission, and you let God be your avenger. You let God be the one who turns back the ridicule, who turns back the despised nature. You let God be the one who brings the conviction. It doesn't mean that you're a doormat. It means that you stay focused and you stop being swayed. You stop having to stop on your mission so that you can answer the ridicule. And it says, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together half its height. because the people had a mind to work. You see, this Nehemiah kept going, and it inspired those around him who had joined in his mission to keep on building. So when you stay focused, you replicate that DNA into the people around you. And it says that when Tobiah and Sanballat and their people heard that the wall just continued being built, they were very angry. When the walls, the breaches started getting closed, these guys were angry. And they plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And so we prayed to our God and we set a guard as a protection against them day and night. So listen, not only were they getting despised and ridiculed, but then they started to hear, they're going to start warring against us. Not only is this hard work, now our lives are about to be threatened. And so again, we turned back to God and we prayed to him again because, dang it, he says that if his people who are called by his name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then he's going to hear from heaven and he's going to heal their land. So when all this stuff arises, we're not alone. We're taking action and we're doing the stuff and we're going to work. We're going to battle and we're not just sitting on our butts waiting for God to do it everything. But man, you better believe we continue in connection with him. We keep returning back to the prayer closet with him. We keep on going to him and bringing all of this to him. And we say, God, I don't know if I'm up to this task. Do you see what's coming against me? But I am not quitting. I'm not giving up. So will you meet us out here? Will you meet us? Will you meet me in this? Will you meet me in this journey of transformation where nothing around me is supporting me? And yet I know I can't give up. I have to. Proverbs says that a man without self-control, without mastery over his self, is like a broken down city without walls. So you, sir, if you have been living your life without the mastery over yourself, without the ability to lead your feelings, without the ability to lead your thoughts, without the ability to lead your wife, to lead your marriage, to lead your life, then you are like the city of Jerusalem, broken down and without walls. And you better believe that when those walls start getting built, as you start getting your life online and on fire, you better believe that Satan's going to see those breaches closing and he's going to panic. He's going to freak out because he's losing his access to you. And it goes on in verse 10 to say, in Judah it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There's too much rubble. By ourselves, we're not going to be able to rebuild this thing. And our enemies said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. And at that time, the Jews who lived near Jerusalem, all right, listen to this. The Jews who lived near Jerusalem came from all directions and said to us 10 times even, you must return to us. Meaning, you've got to stop what you're doing and come back home. You've got to stop your mission and come back home. You guys, again, there will be people who tell you, you've got to stop. This is not okay. This is dangerous. This is uncomfortable. I'm not okay with you being different. I'm not okay with you changing. I'm not okay with you stepping out into your God-given mission. I'm not okay with you praying for the stranger in the store as we are out grocery shopping. I'm not okay with you doing this stuff. Come back home. Go back to the old broken way. Go back to the old non- on mission way, because that's what we're all more comfortable with. And what you're doing right now is stirring up the devil. It's stirring up the opposition. You're going to hear this stuff. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to continue subjecting yourself to the voice of everybody around you? Or are you going to finally connect with your mission and God's voice over your life? And are you going to continue even still? So Nehemiah doesn't give in. He says, in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in the open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Remember the verse, take every thought captive? He's not giving place to these oppositions. He's saying, all right, well, where we are still weak, where the wall is still lowest, where there's still possible vulnerability, we're going to reinforce and fortify. We are going to double down. I am going to, when crap hits the fan and life comes against me, I am going to double down and go all the stronger. You guys, in my life, as I've been building the Man Warrior King movement, publishing the DNA of a Man book, all of that stuff, you don't have any idea what kind of opposition has come against me. You guys, I wrote that book in the middle of being bedridden. I wrote this book, large parts of it, actually even more of the other book that I've written, flat on my back with my laptop on my lap, barely able to move my fingers. I wrote these books from a place where I didn't have a normal income, a regular income. And I threw up prayer after prayer. God, I don't know if this is right. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing here, because my family needs food on the table and I don't know where it's coming from. And I feel irresponsible. And I feel unable to provide for them. And I think I should probably turn back. But I kept doubling down. I kept doing the irresponsible thing. Because I felt like there was a voice saying, go, go, go. And so I went. And I'm still going. And it says that Nehemiah, he says, I looked and I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people who were with me building this thing. And I said, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and freaking awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. He says, you might have everybody, you might have the opposition ridiculing you. You might have your own people telling you, turn back, don't do it, this isn't okay. But you dig deep, sir, and you find somewhere within you the grit to not be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome and who takes impossible situations and turns them into possible. He says, and you fight for your brothers, you fight for your sons, you fight for your daughters and your wives and your homes. You fight for these people who don't see what you see, who don't see the hope and the possibility in front of you that you see. You fight for their sake because you see something. And if you can break through, then they're going to come with you. If you can break through, you're going to create a safe place for them to join you. Don't blame them for getting in the way. Don't blame them for telling you you can't do it. Don't blame them. Instead, create a space for them. Make room for their doubt. Make room for their fear. and you don't give in to it. You set a new tone. Don't let the fear around you pull you down. Instead, let your faith pull the fear up. Got a couple brothers watching on the live stream. Yeah, you are welcome, John. You are welcome, Jeremy. So your faith makes room for the doubt to play itself out, to run its course, and to fade in the lives of those around you. Don't expect people to understand your process. Don't expect people to understand your mission. Let your mission lead to freedom for people to resist as much as they want, because it can't touch you. Because the Lord is great and awesome, doing his work in you and through you. And it says that when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each one to his work. And from that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leader stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. Come on, guys. Come on, this is not easy. Not only is it hard to build a wall, now we got to build with one hand and hold a weapon with the other. And I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. I'm sorry, it's not going to be easy. We can't just coddle ourselves through this thing. We got to man up and understand, okay, all right, I might have to do double the work because I got a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other. But you know what? My God is in me and my God is for me. And he, like David, trains my arms to bend a bow of bronze. And by him, I can leap over a wall. I can run against a troop. So this is hard. Yeah, but it's time to step into faith and say, you know what, Jesus? I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it like a man and I'm going to go after this thing. I can't tell you guys how many times my body has freaking acted up. And I've climbed the stairs of a stage to deliver a message through the utter pain coursing through my legs. And I've stood there motionless on stage, not walking around because it hurt too bad, and I delivered a message. Or I got up out of my bed one more time in the morning with the pain coursing through my body. But I got up because, dang it, my family needed me one more day. It's not easy, and I'm not saying that we have to settle for the things that suck, like disease. As you guys know, I'm after healing with everything I've got because it's not God's will for me. But it does mean that in the middle of the fight, we find the strength to be men. And it says, in verse 19, I said to the nobles and to the officials and the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread, and we are separated. And in the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. And then it says this, our God will fight for us. And then it wraps up the chapter that's saying, neither I nor my brothers nor my servants nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon at his right hand. I encourage you this morning, brothers. Your God is fighting for you. You may not see it. You may not believe it. You may be in the depth of discouragement. But our God is fighting for you. Our God is fighting for you. If you don't hear that on your own, then hear it from me. Our God is fighting for you. He is not done. And he fights for us even when we don't. But I encourage you, sir, join in. Meet him on the battlefield. You remember the two towers? Remember the scene at the end when they're about to get their butts kicked and they're about to lose and the wall is getting breached? And they decide, we got to ride out and meet them. We might go down swinging, but we've got to ride out and meet them. Ride out and meet God who's already out there. I want to thank you for joining me for another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. Again, check out the description, check out the show notes if you want to join in more on the Man Warrior King community. If you want to grab the book, The DNA of a Man. And we got a lot of other trainings available as well. There's several, and there's growing all the time. I'm saying a lot because there's so many that are in the works here. But there are other trainings as well. We got the Take Back Your Marriage training, the Husband Rebuilt training, the Man Conqueror training that are going to give you some more nitty-gritty detail and how to implement these things in your life. So you can find those at manwarriorking.com under the resources tab. And gentlemen, I am with you. I'm for you. God is with you and for you. Bless you, brothers.
This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.